Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth. Very pleased to have my guest today, Tony Agnese. He's a speaker, author, one of the top bloggers out there. I visit him at tonyagnese.com. I encourage you to follow his stuff. It's great. It's encouraging. Tony, how are you doing today? And thanks for coming on.
William, thank you so much for the invitation. It's been great. Great to see you again. Great to get back together again on the show.
Oh, definitely my pleasure to have you back on. I had a lot of great feedback from our last episode, and it's great. It's going to be great just to catch up with you about how your book's doing, the work you're doing, and of course your event coming up here in Arizona next week. So.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Deacon Tom Cox from Rim Radio, Rim Catholic Radio, KPIH. They run 5 Minutes with Tony, which is one of the features that I do on the radio station. And Deacon Tom and his lovely wife, Dee, invited me to speak there at Holy Nativity Parish in Payson. And it's next Saturday. It's on the 8th. And what's really nice, it's free, and there's a wonderful dinner. We're having a wonderful dinner at 5:30, and then I'm going to speak at 6:30 and take questions. And then following, I'll be doing a book signing. And you know, William, it's important. I've got 3 books out, and I think it's real important to note that I make no money from the sale of my books. So all of the books that I do and I sell, all of the net proceeds after we, you know, pay for the printing and so forth, go to the ministries and charities that my wife and I support. So it's a wonderful way. I've been blessed, William, with a great job and a great career. And so it's a way for me to give a little more than I normally would be able to, simply because of the book sales and so forth. We sell the books at a reduced price at the talks. I sign every one, and I'm just anxious to meet the folks up there in the Payson market.
Oh, great. So what do you plan on discussing in Payson? Is there a theme to the event?
We're going to talk about living a life of predictable miracles. Isn't that great? Doesn't everybody love to live a life of predictable miracles? That's what we're going to talk about. And it's based partially on my second book, which is A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, Turning Misery into Ministry. And we talk an awful lot about serving others as being joyful, as to bringing us joy. You know, the old Dominican nuns used to say J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and then yourself at third. And, you know, serving others is very, very important. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. You know, when I hear someone that's complaining about how life is treating them badly and so forth, I always say to them, you know what you need? You need a ministry. You need to get out and work at the local food bank or serve at the kitchen or whatever. You need to get out and help others. And by helping others, joy comes to us. You know, a lot of people have a difficulty defining joy as opposed to happiness. You know, I'm a I was happy when the Cleveland Browns announced that they were going to win the Super Bowl. I was unhappy when we had a worse record than the year before. So happiness goes and comes. During the course of a day, we're happy and sad several times. But joy is something that comes from God. Joy is something that comes from our service to others. And the grace that comes to us from serving others is something that is just joyful, and it puts joy in our lives. You know, my first book, Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life, people say, well, what's a grace-filled life? Well, imagine that. Hail Mary, full of grace. Wouldn't it be? I mean, that's got to be the ultimate, to be full of grace. Yet most people don't understand that grace, there's an infinite amount of grace that God can bestow on us. All we have to do is be open to it and ask for that grace, and that grace comes to us. And so that's kind of what the talk's going to be about. We're going to tell some stories about grace and how miracles happen simply by us saying to the Lord, let me be your servant, put somebody in my path that you can help through me. And wow, when we pray that little prayer, things, miraculous things begin to happen.
Amen. You know, there's no shortage of things that we can do to help others. I mean, just stopping on the corner just to pray with someone, get to know their name, give them that dignity, that only gives them joy. It brings us joy. So, guys, if you have time, I know in Tucson, Payson's about a 2.5 hour drive. Make the trip. You're going to get a free meal. You're going to have a great talk, a great experience at a great parish. That team up there is just amazing. So I encourage you all to visit if you have the opportunity to. So how'd this all come about? You come into Payson from Ohio.
It's Deacon Tom Cox. He just said, we'd love to have you come and speak. And we worked on some dates and times, and it just happened to fit both their opportunity schedule there in terms of what was going on at the parish and my ability to get in and be able to do it. You know, you mentioned little things sometimes that can bring joy. And you talked about just praying for someone. You know, when people would come up to me and say, Tony, would you pray for me? You know, they have a particular problem. I lost my job. I'm having difficulty and so forth. I would always say, sure, I'll pray for you. And then I would write their name in a little book I kept by the side of my bed. I have a little book. And I would pray for them when I do my morning prayers. And one gentleman, I think he was a cancer patient. And I saw him in the grocery store. I mean, we were by the frozen food aisle. And he said, Tony, would you pray for me? And I said, sure. And I began to look for a pen to write things down. And he said, no, would you pray for me now? And right then and there in the middle of the grocery store, right on the frozen food aisle next to the frozen pizzas, we held hands together and I prayed for him right then and there. And you know what? Ever since that time, William, that's when somebody says, pray for me, I go, okay, let's do it. Let's do it right now. And I think that's what people are saying when they want to hear your words. They want to hear you're invoking the Lord Jesus Christ into that prayer. That's comforting to them. It brings them solace. And you know what it brings us? Joy.
Joy. Yeah, it's a very powerful ministry that we can impart to others, just taking that time. And so my challenge of people on social media, you know, a lot of times we always have the prayer request. And sometimes it's just tempting to say, okay, praying. Well, did we really? Mm-hmm. If we're going to take the time to type it, let's take the time to actually do it, like right
That's
then and there.
Great. Oh, what a wonderful point. And it's an observation I've had it well. One of the things about social media is it gives us the opportunity to connect and to say, you know, would you pray for me and so forth. But it's so simplified sometimes that it's real easy to put in my prayers or praying or you put the little emoji of the praying hands and that's it. And you know, for some reason that just doesn't get it. You know, I love, you know, there's a gal that I met years ago and she used to do a thing every week called the 3 o'clock call. She'd call somebody every day at 3 o'clock just to talk with them. And the phone is we've kind of forgotten about telephones with text messaging and the internet and so forth, but she would pick up the phone and call someone every day at 3. And you know what the most common response she got was when she called someone? I was just thinking about you.
Oh, wow.
You had just crossed my mind. Boy, you're the perfect person to call me. And, you know, I started doing that. And it's amazing how, and there's always, I said, did you run out of people? She says, never. There's always someone I can call. A friend of mine from high school, we had our 50th class reunion a couple of years ago, was in the Cleveland Clinic, a stellar hospital, with a surgery that he needed that only had about a 40% chance of making it through the surgery. Very, very delicate surgery, and only one particular doctor could do that surgery. And his wife was visiting him, and they live about an hour from the hospital. His wife was visiting him, and on the way home, she hit a deer and ended up hitting a tree, and she ended up in a hospital in another town. So here you have the husband with a 40% chance of survival in one hospital, and his wife, in another hospital. And, you know, it gave me an opportunity. You know, you get in the car, and I drove an hour, and I spent half an hour with her, and I had a chance to lay hands and pray for her and pray with her. And at the same time I was there, I found out that someone else that I knew very closely from my old hometown was dying in the hospital. And I had a chance to go pray a chaplet of divine mercy for that person while I was in town. I was in town less than an hour, and I was able to do that. You know, there are people in our lives, William, that are willing to go a little farther than just in my prayers or I'm praying for you, that will pick up the phone and call someone. I had a golfing buddy of mine just had a hip replacement about a week ago, and I texted him and said, you know, are you going to hit the ball a little farther this year? We can really use you. And the other day I sent him a text message saying there was a 5K marathon if he wanted to run in it. It was all set. He's home, obviously, with the rubber bands trying to recover. So just little things like that sometimes. A smile sometimes is all it takes.
Yeah.
Or recognizing a person and asking their name. I don't know if I shared this story with you in the past. If I did, stop me. But I used to go to Nashville quite often. My son now lives there, so I'll be going there often again. And I was staying at the Renaissance Hotel, and there was $15 for internet access. And there's no way I'm paying $15 for internet access when there was a Panera right down the street that had free internet. Right. So very early in the morning, or before 7 a.m., I'm walking to the Panera to use the internet. No one's on the street except me, and there was a woman on the other side of the street who appeared to be homeless, and she cried out, "Sir, sir," and I ignored her, and I kept walking toward the Panera. And again, a second time, she said, "Sir, sir," and again, I ignored her and kept walking toward the Panera. And the third time, she was standing right next to me. And she said, "Sir, sir," and I acknowledged, "Yes." And she said, "What time is it?" And I said, 7 a.m. And then, William, as most people who are homeless do, she began her story. "You know, I'm from Bristol, you know, where the racetrack is. And I've been in Nashville 6 months, and there's no work. And I haven't eaten in a couple of days. And, you know, can you help me?" And I knew all the right questions to ask her, but I kept walking and looking at the Panera, never recognizing her there, never engaging her, never looking at her. And when we got to the Panera, I reached in my wallet and I gave her a $20 bill. And I left and I went into the Panera. And as I looked out the window of the Panera, Mother Teresa's words filled my head. And she said, "Minister to the Jesus in front of you. Minister to the Jesus in front of you." And she would always say, "I see the face of Jesus in everyone I meet." And how can you see the face of Jesus in someone if you don't engage them, if you don't look at them, if you don't look them in the eye, ask their name? Sure, I gave her $20. But what I denied her, William, I denied her that contact. I denied her that look in the eyes, that seeing the face of Jesus. I denied her finding out her name and how else I might have served. It was that day that I said I would never ignore another homeless person. And from that time, I've worked in homeless ministry ever since.
Amen. It's a good transition to our topic today. Of course, living a life of holiness, it's definitely one way that we can do that, is seeing the Jesus in the person in front of us. Because we're all created in the image of God, and I think sometimes we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other things you write about this a lot in your books, especially in chapter one of your newest one? You know, one of the ways to live a holy life is to slow down.
Yeah.
What are some ways that we can just slow down? Because we're in just a hectic mode most of the time.
You know, most of us are going a million miles an hour all the time. And living in the moment, I think, is important. And that we, you know, when we live in the past, it causes depression. We go over the same things over and over again, things that we can't change. And when we worry about the future, and that's what I used to do when I was younger, I'd always be worried about that next thing happening at work or the next project or the promotion or whatever. And when you're worried about that, you become anxious. And oftentimes the things we're most anxious about never happen anyhow. So we've got to learn to live in the moment. How do we do that? We got to just slow it down a little bit. Sometimes slowing down gives us the opportunity to invite our Lord into our lives. You know, and St. Paul says we should, we should pray endlessly, continuously, and so forth. And people say, how do you do that? Well, it's simple. You just invite the Lord into your life on a daily basis. God, help me get through this today. Lord, help me with that. Lord, I'm having a little frazzled day. Help me to calm down so that I'm not that kind of person when I meet someone. So it's very simple to do that. I think working on our relationships is another way we get closer to God. You know, there's this idea that we're on one of two trajectories. You know, we're either moving toward heaven or moving toward hell. It's just that simple. And I like to say we're either moving toward the light or we're moving toward darkness. And when you're moving toward darkness, you're always walking in your own shadow because the light is behind you. When you're moving to the light, the light illuminates your path as you walk closer to the Lord. And yeah, we're going to do a lot of two steps forward and one step back and two steps forward and one step back. But I think if the trajectory is moving toward the light, then at the end of our lives, we can say that, you know, we ran the race and so forth, as St. Paul said. So we've got to move in that direction. Understand sometimes that less is more. You know, we're always pursuing more and more and more. My wife has a little plaque right above her sink, and it says, happiness is wanting what you have. To be thankful and grateful for what I have rather than coveting something out there that I don't have. You know, I always say, if you're not grateful for what you have, then how are you ever going to be grateful for what you want? We got to start with that type of gratitude. And then I think giving is better than receiving. And a lot of that has to do with just serving others. And it could be just smiling at someone, being the first person to say hello. You know, when you walk into a restaurant or you walk into church, say hello, be friendly, be out front so that people will think of you in a way that is positive and so forth. Gratitude, you know, being grateful for what we have is very, very important. And also to be forgiving. You know, I come from an Italian family, and boy, we can hold a grudge longer than anyone. I remember one time my mom and one of her sisters got into a brouhaha about something. And they didn't speak to each other for months. And as a teenager, I sat my mom down one day and I said, what did you fight about? And you know what, William, she couldn't even remember. Yeah. And I said, shouldn't you two just kind of get together so that we can have Easter dinner together or Christmas dinner together and so forth? And they reconciled in a minute because neither one of them knew what they were even fighting about. We just have to sometimes learn to forgive. And there are people that have hurt us, but forgiveness is not for them. You know, being a person that holds on to all of that hurt and so forth, anger and resentment set in. And anger and resentment are not things that we want. You know, it's like, right, they say, it's like, you know, drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. We've got to forgive. And we need to do that by invoking our Lord, by bringing Jesus into the situation. Lord, help me to forgive. Help me get through this. Help me to mend those things that need to be mended and so forth. So little thing, you know, one of the things I always say to people, one of the things you can do is pray. And one of the things people always say to me is, Tony, I don't have time to pray. It reminds me of another Saint Mother Teresa story. She was with some bishop and they were traveling somewhere, and the bishop was bemoaning the fact that he had all this paperwork to do and all of this technical stuff and whatever. And he said to Mother Teresa, he said, "I am so busy, I don't even have time to pray." And she says, "If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy." And so how do you find time to pray? For me, it was easy. I drive to work, and it takes me about 20 minutes to drive to work. Perfect rosary.
Yes.
And I'm, perfect rosary. Get in the car, pray the rosary. And guess what happens when you get to work? You're in a better mood, And I started doing it on the way home, which was even better because you get all worked up at work, and you don't want to walk into your wife and your kids all upset. So you pray on the way back. I'm a huge advocate of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I love the chaplet. And you can pray it in 5 or 6 minutes, by yourself. And what a wonderful way to add some prayer. Just doing a morning offering sometime is very easy. But including Jesus in our day, talking to him through the course of the day, that conversation is prayer-like. If Jesus is truly our friend, don't you want to spend some time with your friend, right? Exactly. My wife, Diane, has done perpetual adoration for 28 years. Every Tuesday at 9 a.m., she's in the Adoration Chapel. If she were standing here and you asked her what's the most important hour of your week, she would say that one. Why? Because she gets so much out of that. And I think part of my success is she's probably spent most of those 28 years praying for this guy who sometimes falls short of the mark.
Right. One of my favorite quotes from St. Francis de Sales, what is about prayer? He says, in his, I believe it's the Introduction to the Devout Life, he says, "I pray 30 minutes a day, and when I'm busy, I pray an hour a day."
I like that.
I think sometimes we lose sight of that. We, like you said, if we can't, sometimes to pray, we're too busy, because we could always find some time to carve out. It's a relationship. My wife and I, if we're not going to talk to each other, we're going to have some issues. We're not going to grow with each other. It's the same thing with our Lord. We need to be talking. At the same time, we need to take time to listen. So now you talk about time. You work, you have the podcast, you're writing. And I know you say you pray on the way to work. How about on those days where you're not going to work? How do you do that then?
Sometimes, for example, I write on Saturdays right here in this is my writing office. And I always begin writing by praying. So, I want to get myself in the right mind to write. And, sometimes, William, and it's truthful, I'll read something that I wrote a few years ago and I go, "I can't believe I wrote that. I can't believe that was me." And the only way I can explain it was me under the influence of the Holy Spirit, because I try to begin by praying. And once I've done that, then I sit down and try to decide what I'm going to write about. I only write on Saturdays. So, it takes me a while to write a book. I've got two books going right now with a third in research at the moment. And so it takes a while, but I can do that. And then obviously on Sunday, I spend a lot of time and we go to Mass and my wife and I spend Sunday in a kind of a relaxed, prayerful way. And I try to get to the Adoration Chapel when I can and so forth. So, there are ways to work that in. Most of the ministries I do, my jail ministry and our ministry to the homeless and so forth, involve prayer. We're out with people. A week from now on Thursday before Ash Wednesday on what do they call that Thursday? My brain is failing me. I'm speaking to Steadfast Fathers, and it's a group of guys who come together who most of them are just out of prison, who have been estranged from their kids, who really want to be better dads and just don't have a clue how to do it. A lot of people don't have that father figure in their lives. A huge percentage of the people in jails and prisons don't. And so they come together for classes, and I get to speak at one of their, I think they do 6 or 8 classes in this group, and they get a certificate at the end that's recognized by the courts that they're really trying to be better fathers. So I get to talk to them on authentic fatherhood each cycle, so about 4 times a year. And I always give them a copy of one of my books to read, but it's a great opportunity to try to help people. And it all begins with prayer. When I'm in the jails on Tuesday night, We get people come in there. Most of them come for some reason, and a lot of them aren't Christians, or they don't know Jesus at all. And so to tell them the Jesus story, that he was born and he died and he rose from the dead, and he's here to forgive our sins, and he's taken that on and so forth, the kerygma, to tell them that story, and then to watch them get interested in what it is we do and how we do it in terms of prayer. And then you see them a week or two or 3 weeks later, and they're thumbing their way through a paperback Bible or whatever. We had one guy come into jail one night, you could tell he was mentally challenged and so forth. I think it was caused by drugs and an injury and some things. But he was very boisterous, and he said, "Teach me how to do that thing you do." And I said, "What thing you do?" "You know, that thing you do." And I said, "In the sign of the cross." And he said, "Yeah, teach me how to do that." And so we said, "In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen." And he fumbled through, did it backwards, forwards. And after about 10 or 12 tries, he finally got it right. And he said, "Now teach me the words." And so we taught them the words, "In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, amen." And he said, "Is that a prayer?" I said, "Yeah, that's a prayer." And he goes, "So is that what they meant by praying continuously?" And I said, "Sure, pray continuously." And we talked a little bit about the sign of the cross. Now, the interesting thing about that, I watch people every week at church. I'm sure you've observed that there's some of the floppiest signs of the cross I've ever seen in my life. And what it causes you to do is to kind of slow down a little bit and, you know, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." And then I talk about the fact, you know, that most in the Roman Catholic faith, we do it with an open hand. But in the Eastern rites of the Catholic Church, they put three fingers together and bend the two fingers down, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus, both man and God, and they do it that way. And I learned that from a Eastern Rite priest when I was a little kid, and I kept doing it. People occasionally will ask me, "How can you do that?" Well, that's how I learned. But that is a prayer, and praying continuously. So this kid left the room saying, "I've got something here." And, you know, that's so small, but he's moving toward the light. He's moving toward Jesus and not away from Jesus, toward God and not away from God.
What works do you have in progress? I know you just said it a couple minutes ago that you have a couple in the works, third in research.
Yeah, I'm working on a book on leaving a written legacy. You know, I speak to a lot of seniors, William, and they want their grandkids to know about them, to know some of their stories. You know, we all have great stories. So I'm working on a book. It's going to actually start out as a workshop. I'm going to do it at some senior centers. And then we're taking all of that and putting it into a book that might help some older people and some senior centers to do something. Another book I'm working on is Tony, Let Me Share My Miracle. Wherever I speak, William, people will come up to me afterwards, either when we're signing books or to talk to me, and they'll say, "Tony, I love your stories and all of that. You should hear what happened to me." And they'll tell me a story that is so heartwarming and so much better than some of my stories that I thought, let me collect these, right? And I'll put them in a book. Now, most of these people would not ever think of writing these stories, but if they can tell me the story, I can maybe record it or whatever. I can then do the writing and get it in a book and share some of these fantastic miracle stories that we have. And then I'm doing a book on personal branding. You know, one of the things about the internet, here we are, we're online on the internet, right? And whether we like it or not, people are looking at our quote brands. And so oftentimes we want to take control of our personal brands and make sure that the right message is getting across, that that people understand why we do what we do. You know, for someone like you, for someone like me, why do we do the things we do? And I think that's a book that I think will be probably, as I collect these stories and as I speak this year, I've got a number of speaking engagements here through the Lenten season into Easter, and a few some into May. I'm going to be able to collect some more of these stories and be able to get them in the book form.
Great. Well, Tony, where can our listeners learn more about you, your books, and of course the event this coming Saturday?
Well, I will talk about my website is tonyagnesi.com, TonyAgnesi.com. If you go there, my 5 minutes with Tony podcast is there. You know, my podcast is only 5 minutes long. You can kind of consume it on your before you go to work or whatever. It posts every Wednesday on Breadbox Media, and it's also available on my website. All of my books are there, and if you click and go into my store and use the promotional code FRIENDS, FRIENDS, you put FRIENDS in, it will discount everything 20%, free shipping, and I'll personally sign every book. All of my blogs are there. All of my podcasts are there. And my daily feature called Daily Grace that I do on Instagram is there. And there's a lot of time you can spend. And my whole goal in life, you know, I'm a player in the game of life. To play football, we got the big Super Bowl coming up here Sunday. To play football, you need players and coaches and referees. And so same thing with our Catholic faith. We've got a lot of great referees. They know all the rules, you know, illegal procedure. You only fasted 57 minutes, you know, 10-yard penalty, first down. And we've got some great coaches. We've got apologists and priests and deacons and so forth who know our faith much better than I do. And then we have people like me. We're just guys in the game. We're playing the game. We make mistakes. We get offside. We do all sorts of things that we shouldn't. But we're moving toward trying to win the game. And we're using our coaches and we're using the referees to get there. And so that's who I represent. It's just the ordinary Joe Sixpack. I'm not that smart. You know this. I got a 1.9 GPA in college. I'm one of the people just trying to live a good Catholic life, you know, as one of the players in the game. As far as the talk, I've got some notes here. It starts at 5:30, and it's at Holy Nativity Parish, and I think they're on 1414 Easy Street. I saw that and kind of like that in Payson. We're having a fantastic spaghetti dinner. I've heard nothing but rave reviews. They've been rolling meatballs all week at 5:30 p.m., and then my talk is from 6:30 until 8. We're going to take questions. We're going to sign books. And I want to meet everyone that comes. I want to spend a few minutes with everybody eye to eye, seeing the face of Jesus in the people I meet. So I'm really looking forward to it next Saturday, February 8th in Payson. Tickets are free. There's no cost for the tickets. And there are a limited number of them. There are a few left. I checked this morning. They do have some tickets left if people want to go. I'll give you a phone number, too. I think it might be important if you do want to go and you're going to drive that you have a seat. And you can call Jim at 928-951-3480. Or you can call the radio station, KPIH, which is Rim Catholic Radio. And their number at the radio station is 928-363-4144. And then just at least secure a ticket. You don't have to have it in your hand, but make sure they know you're coming so that they have a count for dinner. And we're going to just have a lot of fun.
Great. Well, Tony, thanks for taking some time just to talk about how we can live a holy life, about your great ministry, your projects, and of course your event coming up. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Tell me a little bit about the diaconate. I understand you might be considering thinking about it.
Now put me on the spot. Okay.
I am.
All right. So yeah, my wife and I have prayed about it. I'm going to proceed with it. We have a couple things that we have to work out. We have to get the application in later on this year because the class starts next year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, pretty much every deacon in my parish has said, you need to do it. God's told me you don't have a choice.
And I will tell you something. You're young enough that you can really have the time to serve. You know, a lot of guys go into the diaconate, you know, as kind of a retirement thing. And it's wonderful. I'm not knocking it, but we need younger guys who can really serve over a period of time. I'm excited about it. And I'll keep you in my prayers, LOL, and I'll put the prayer hands up and everything on Facebook. But I'll really keep you in my prayers.
Yeah, and there's quite a bit of young men at my parish who are considering it. I think there's like 10 or 11 of us.
Oh, my God. That's wonderful.
So pray for all of us.
You bet I will. You bet I will. You know, no priests, no sacraments, no deacons, none of that service that comes from helping in that ability to work in a parish and give the priest some time to do the sacraments and so forth. We get so hung up in the administrative things that sometimes those things get left behind, and deacons really are there to really help those things. I work with a couple of deacons in jail ministry, and these guys are just so much, they're just such great guys, and really do some wonderful things.
Well, we appreciate your prayer, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Great being with you, William. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.